questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the grace of God, so God has done it, we know both the horrible and we also know the wonderful. What do I mean by that? I think you know already, but the horrible includes these particular facts. We are sinners, we deserve God's wrath, and we have no ability to escape. That's pretty horrible stuff. What about the wonderful that includes these facts? God took action, he took away the sins of the entire world, and he continues to shower us with his forgiveness through what we call the means of grace. Now, as people who have the benefits of Jesus' saving work, not too many people have them, but for us who do have them, we are alive in two ways. We are alive physically, and we are alive spiritually. God has done it, and we don't deserve it. We know that God has given us life in our bodies. We should live with peace, knowing that God will provide whatever we need for the rest of this life. Now, maybe not always what we want, but whatever we need. We also know that physical things are temporary, here today, gone tomorrow, but we know that spiritual things are eternal. Hopefully that's why you gather here week after week, because of those great eternal things. We understand that physical things are important. We have many important things in our lives that are physical, that are tangible. However, though, we understand that spiritual things are more important because they last forever and ever, and the spiritual things, they tie us to our great God, and they tie us to eternal life, to eternal blessings. What I'm getting at here is a little bit like I did with the children today. It's one thing to know the important realities. It's another thing to rightly express them in our lives. So there are a lot of things that we know, but we really don't follow through on them. Easy to happen with what we're talking about today. Let's think a little bit more today about the temporal and the eternal as we go back to today's gospel reading and consider this visit that Jesus made to the home of Martha and Mary. Going back to our text here, we come to what I'm calling the setting. The Bible says, now as they... Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus and the many who were with him. Now as they went on their way, so they were continuing to travel to Jerusalem, the Bible says that they entered a certain village, and we know that was the village of Bethany, which is very near to Jerusalem. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, that is Jesus, into the house. So the people traveling with Jesus, we could be talking here about a group of maybe like 100 people, for example, because we had Jesus, we had the 12 who would become the 12 apostles, we had the 72 that we studied about a couple weeks ago that Jesus had sent ahead of him. We know that various women traveled with them, and maybe there were other men besides the 12 and the 72, so there easily could have been 100 or 100 and some people traveling here together. Also, too, it kind of seems, hard to tell for sure, but it seems as they got close to Bethany that Jesus kind of split off and took the road to Bethany, and the rest of the group probably went on to Jerusalem, I would think, only about a mile and a half away. Jesus, we believe, was already a close friend of Martha and Mary, and also their brother Lazarus, who's not mentioned here, but he is their brother, though. He was already a close friend of theirs, and maybe somehow Jesus kind of bumped into Martha in town, And then she said, "Oh, Lord, you're here. Come to my house." So she did welcome him, and we don't know quite the details. So going on with our text, we go to verse 39, and the Bible says, "Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted." Another way to translate that Greek word there is that she was drawn away with much serving. Well, she probably wasn't making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She was probably coming up with some very elaborate meal. You have the very Son of God in human flesh right in your home. Are you going to serve peanut butter and jelly? Probably not. So a very complex meal she was probably making. What can we say about this? Well, it seems pretty obvious from the Bible that both Martha and Mary, they did believe in Jesus. They understood he was the promised Messiah. Since he was in their home, what would they want to do? Obviously, they would want to provide for him, provide for his physical needs in amazing ways, and they would also want to hear whatever he came to say to them. They would want to hear his teaching. Now, based on what the Bible says there, we could presume that maybe Martha did all of the serving, and then Mary did all of the listening. However, though, it's very possible that when he came, maybe both of them sat at his feet. Maybe both of them looked up to him as teacher. And they did that for a while, but then, though, Martha felt like, "I've got to cut this off here. I've got to get going on the meal." And she got up and began serving. A little bit difficult to tell for sure, but at some point, though, definitely, Martha was drawn away. See, because we can translate the word that way, it seems that she was there at one point at the feet of Jesus, but then she got drawn away by something else. Whether it happened exactly that way or not, we can certainly conclude here that Martha did choose to serve rather than to listen. What was going on there? Martha obviously wanted to show love for Jesus. How can she do that? She can take care of his physical needs. She can serve him. However, though, think about it this way. In doing that, what she said is, "My serving of Jesus is more important than what he has to say." That's really what she was doing by stopping her listening and beginning the serving. She was saying, "My serving of him is more important in a sense than his serving of me." So that's what she did. Whether she felt that way or not about it, we can't say. However, though, her actions spoke louder than her words. And that's how we are too in life. Dr. Just put it this way: one shows hospitality to wandering missionaries in a variety of ways. One certainly provides for them food, but the most fundamental part of the hospitality is to receive and hear the preaching of the kingdom. So it was important that they provide something for him. I mean, he was traveling, he needed rest, he needed food, but most important, though, is that they would receive what he had to say to them. And then we come here to a complaint. So the Bible goes on and says, "Martha went up to Jesus and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" If we take a look there at the Greek text a little bit more carefully, with what she said, it was obvious that she thought almost for certain that the Lord could see exactly where she was coming from, and he was in full agreement. Then she said to him, "Tell her then to help me." So Martha thought, "I'm fully right in this. She shouldn't be listening. She should be serving with me. Jesus is going to fully agree, and Jesus is going to tell her, 'Mary, it's time to get up, get going, go and help your sister.'" That's kind of what Martha was expecting here. Well, we can also form strong opinions sometimes, can't we? Believing that we are right. Have you ever really thought you were right, and then you stated it in a very strong way, and then you found out that you were actually wrong? So sometimes we have to be careful. You know, we think we're right. We're boasting that we're right. "Oh, I'm not right. I'm wrong." And now you're like wanting to crawl under the table and hide out because you kind of made a fool out of yourself. Well, sometimes we can be that way, but what is important for all of us, though? Well, it's important for all of us to keep studying the Bible. If you're doing that now, great. Well, is there ever a time where we've like learned it all and we don't have to study the Bible anymore? So it's important that we keep studying it, that we keep learning it more and more, and that we keep applying it to our lives more and more. Well, going on in our text here, the Lord now answers Martha, and he said to her, "Martha, Martha." Now, when he says her name twice like that, that's a very endearing kind of a way to talk to her. He's showing great love to her. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious." In other words, you are distracted, you are troubled, you are bothered about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good part. Actually, another way to translate that Greek word would be the better part. I'm going to focus on that in a moment. Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So as Jesus spoke to Martha, he did express disapproval with what she thought was more important by her doing the serving rather than the listening, but he did so like in the kindest and gentlest way. Then Jesus pointed Martha to what Mary thought was more important, and he said to her, "She has chosen the better part." Now, it wasn't a matter of saying what Martha did was bad and what Mary did was good. It's not that way at all. But we could say, hey, what Martha did, she's wanting to serve her Lord. She's wanting to take care of his physical needs. Hey, that was good. But Jesus is saying here, though, what Mary picked by sitting at my feet and by listening, that's even better. That's what he was trying to say. So understand it in that way. Why is that so? Well, it should be obvious by now with all that's been said between the children and the readings and so on. Mary has chosen what is of eternal consequence. Martha was focusing on what was of temporary consequence. So there's a huge difference there. Right now, as we live in this life, we are going through life, and sometimes we say seeing is believing, and sometimes we also think about the idea of out of sight, out of mind. So what are we seeing? We are seeing everything that is temporary, so it's very easy to focus on things that are temporary. But let's understand, though, that the temporary things are going to be gone someday. So right now, we're anticipating on living for days, weeks, months, years, decades. So because we anticipate that, we're focusing more on the physical. But sometimes, though, people can be gathered in church and they think they have a long time. And we think about that incident that happened, a few years ago, where almost all those people in that church were put to death on a Sunday morning. We don't anticipate that here at all, but things like that can happen. Or we could go to a regular doctor appointment this week and find out that, oh, I'm not feeling that bad, but the doctor is saying I have cancer in multiple places in my body and I have a very short time to live. What I'm trying to say is that when we think we're okay physically, then we tend to focus on the physical things. But if we know, though, that we're at the end of our lives, the physical things don't matter anymore. I don't care about what kind of car I'm driving on the day that I die. I don't care what kind of a house I'm living in on the day that I die. I don't care how much money I have in the bank on the day that I die. You know, all those temporary things no longer mean anything. And all that matters is, am I okay with God? Is God seeing me in my sins, or is he seeing me through Jesus Christ? And am I okay with God? Am I going to breathe my last and God's going to take me home to paradise? That's all we're thinking about when it comes to the end. What God wants us to realize is that we don't know when that end is, so he wants us to live each day as if it is the last, putting him first, knowing that we are good with God in Christ, and then we can go on and live our lives. Somebody put it this way one time and said that we're not really ready to live until we're ready to die. We're not really ready to live until we're ready to die. In other words, once we have things in order with our relationship with God, now we're ready to go forward in life in a proper way. But if we don't have the relationship with God in order, if we're putting that off to some other time, then we're going to struggle to live. Give that some thought. It also said here, Jesus mentioned regarding what Mary was doing, what she had chosen would not be taken away from her. In other words, it's of eternal significance. She has it now. She knows that in Christ she is forgiven, and she's going to be blessed forever and ever. So she was focusing on things of eternal significance. As I go toward the end here, I want to come to some conclusions. So first of all, regarding the right order, think about these couple things here. So as saving faith always comes before genuine works. In other words, no one can do a truly good work, a work that is good in the sight of God, apart from saving faith. So as saving faith always comes before genuine works, so listening to Jesus should always come before serving Jesus. Can you see how listening to him ties with the faith, serving him ties with the works? I hope you can see the parallel there. And then think about this passage in Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What I'm trying to say here is, what is your core? So what's at the center of you? Is it fleshly or is it spiritual? Is it of God? In other words, if it is of the flesh, if you are fleshly rather than spiritual, then your focus is on temporary things. Those are important to you. However, though, if God has worked a change within you and now you are spiritual, then your focus is on spiritual things. Now, is that a really hard thing to maintain? It is, because we live in a tangible, physical world. But God wants us to keep that perspective, though, and realize, oh, all this stuff over here, as much as I want it and like it and it's important now, it's all temporary. It's like if you have to blow your nose and you pull a tissue out of a box and you use it, are you like treasuring that tissue now? You're like, oh no, that's a temporary thing. I used it. I'm going to throw it away. Well, God wants us to know that all this physical stuff, whether it's a $100,000 car or whatever it might be, it's all physical stuff, temporary stuff, and someday it's going to be gone. So don't hang on to it too tightly. And then the Bible goes on there in Romans 8, and it says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. So our mindset, our core, is so very important. Let me just look at a few examples here real quick in closing. What's more important for you? Would it be time with friends on a Sunday morning, or would it be gathering for divine service and receiving word and sacrament? Well, I guess you've already answered that one. How about this on Sunday? Would you rather spend time with your family, or would you rather gather down the hall and downstairs for Bible class and for Sunday school? Because that's a time to study the Word of God. What about at home? What is more important? Is it more important to watch TV, or is it more important to spend some time reading the Holy Word of God? And what about this when you're driving? What's more important, to listen to your favorite radio station or to take a little bit of time and work on a verse from the Bible that you're memorizing? Well, see, just like with the kids, I think all of us know which one is truly more important. So that's why the challenge is today, now we know what is more important, but what are we going to do about it, though? Are we going to say, well, okay, I know, but I'm just going to forget about all of that and I'm going to keep focusing on the physical stuff? Or are we going to say, you know, what he said is true, so I'm going to let some of this physical stuff go and I'm going to get more involved in these spiritual things which will benefit me now and forever? Let me leave you with this final quote here from Lenski. He wrote, where the blessed, saving, soul-satisfying word of Christ is chosen, all else follows. Where those things are set aside and neglected, all else is useless, empty, deceptive, vain. So that's going kind of back to what I said about the idea of the core. So when the core is right, everything flows from there in a wonderful way. When things are messed up with our relationship with God, then everything else tends to be messed up too. So these are really important things. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for showing us that eternal things are certainly more important than temporal things. And now we pray that you would help us, that we would reflect what is more important in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.